Thank you. We can laugh and we can cry. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. And if we go through Ecclesiastes, we learn, Lord, that you are a God that is sovereign and over all, in all, and through all. And Lord, today I just pray that in and through this message, Lord, your love would be manifest to each and every one of us. Like, Father, we would walk away understanding more of how gracious you have been to us, how loving you've been to us, and that before the foundation of the world, you had us all in mind. So, Lord, just please, through the power of your word, transform us. So that we as sons and daughters of the Most High will make the most of the days that we have upon this earth to represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started a series on the trials of life. We did a whole series on faith and the faith that God gives us, the faith that we have, the faith that we're to build upon, and how faith really rules our life. It really orders our steps. God abides by his own laws, and so when we operate in faith, all of his laws are really around faith. And so faith is so important in our lives. It's not the only thing in our life, but boy, it really pleases God, as it says in the Word, when we operate by faith and in faith. And so the love of God is seen through the, again, response that we have in faith towards the love he's given us. It's interesting today because as we talk about the trials of life and we talk about Hebrews here today, God proves his love. God shows us his love, yes, even in trials. When we're going through the trials of life, God's purpose in it is to grow us and love us and nurture us and develop us and mature us. Now, of course, we're not talking about Satan when he brings us the trials and the tribulations and the stuff that he tries to trip us up and to hang us up and to steal our faith. That's for a whole nother time. We're going to concentrate on the love of God and the Father God and what and why he disciplines us and why there are trials in life. Because we can't avoid it. As much as we focus on faith and love and hope and all that stuff, you know, all of us experience the difficulties on a day-to-day basis of struggling with some of the things and not getting answers and wondering where our prayers are going and all of these other things, and then we're blaming God. And today I pray you'll see that it's not God in the respect of him trying to harm you or condemn you or to hurt you or to do anything that would, as a son or a daughter, reflect his anger, but that he is trying to lift us up and to mature us and to grow us and to love us and to shape us and to mold us and to do all the things that a good, loving Father wants to do. So let's tackle that today, and let's pray. Father, again, as I already have prayed, right now, Lord, my prayer is that I become less and that you become more. In Jesus' name. Last week we said that the Bible uses many terms to describe trials. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that the words suffering, hardship, difficulty, chastening, and discipline are all words that can be used for trials. Now, we've already discussed that Satan can use them in a negative way, but God can use them in a very positive way. God will allow things in our life to help mold us and shape us and mature us and grow us, as we've said. Where Satan purposes to try to trip us and try to hang us up. But today we're going to talk about discipline. And we talked last week also about how trials are basically tests. Tests allowed by God to purify us. So we're going to dig into this word discipline. Okay, trials have many different words to describe them, but today we're going to just focus on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, and we're going to talk about this word discipline that's used for those circumstances that come into our lives that are allowed by God for the greater good, for the love of God, if you will, and you'll see that as I read this scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And I really want you to see God's love in all of these things that we're going to be talking about in these next few weeks about trials. Please understand that God is in control. We sang that. Les sang that this morning. God is in control. He's sovereign. He's our daddy. He loves us. It's unconditional love. He wants to bring us to the next level. And just like a great parent would do for a child or anyone else, sometimes they allow us to go through some stuff in order to get us to the next level, or should we say grow up. And so here we go where the writer of Hebrews tells us that. And you have forgotten the exhortation. How about that one? What's an exhortation? An encouragement, which is addressed to you as sons. And here it comes. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. The discipline of the Lord. And that word again used for trials. The trials that come our way. Not that are coming from Satan, forget that, okay? But those trials that come by the allowing of God, allowing these things to come into our life, of the Lord. Nor faint when you are what? Reproved by him. Of course he loves us. But any child and son whom he receives, he's going to correct. He's going to train. He's going to test. He's going to discipline. So don't reprove it. For those whom the Lord what? Say it. Love. One more time. He's, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges. That word is whipped. Everybody ever get a whooping by dad? Not because he hated you, not because he wanted to, not because he said, hey, I think I'll get up this morning and just whoop my son. Now, there are some people that do that, and of course, that is out of line and out of balance, and those are the ones that need help themselves, right? But for those the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges or whips, as if you look it up in the Greek, every son whom he receives. It is for discipline, you're going to see how many times this word is used, that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, how many?
All.
One more time.
All.
Thank you. Then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If God doesn't deal with you, test you, bring things your way to purify you, then he really doesn't give a rip. That's my translation. Your sons, your daughters, of course he's going to train us in the way that we should go. We're told to train our own sons and daughters in the way they should go. This is God training us in the way we should go. Otherwise, we can consider ourselves illegitimate. Furthermore, we had, and now he's using an example, earthly fathers to discipline us. And we're going to look at this word respected. It's kind of cool, and we'll see that. And we respected them. We respected them. It turned us in the way that we should go. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits? Because God is the Father is what? An eternal spirit. And live. For they, earthly, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. And God only knows that it seemed best to them sometimes, but they didn't do it fairly well. There's only one perfect Father, right? Seemed best to our earthly parents, but God, he disciplines us for our good. Why? Because it's perfect. He's perfect. He knows exactly what we need, when we need, how much we need, and how much we can take. So that, why? Why do we have to have some of these difficulties come into life? Because we just don't get it sometimes when it's in the good times. So he disciplines us for our good so that we might what? Share in his holiness. His whole purpose is to move us towards holiness, to be set apart, to practice righteousness. We're going to see that it's for the fruit of righteousness. All discipline for the moment obviously seems not to be joyful. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes going through a trial. But sorrowful. Yet to those who have been what? Trained by it, if you're a son and daughter willing to listen to a loving daddy who's doing it for your greater good, afterwards it yields what? The peaceful fruit of righteousness. This is how daddy gets sons and daughters to operate in the kingdom the way he wants us to. Like we get our sons and daughters to do what we're asking them to do. And when they don't do it, and they don't do it, and they're obstinate, and they're rebellious, we don't whoop them to hurt them. We train them. And we allow things in their lives to purify them. This is what we're going to be talking about. Now the word discipline, what is the discipline of the Lord? Interestingly, it's used in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let's look at it. For the grace of God has appeared. Notice grace and love is mixed all in with this whole thing about trials and discipline with God. The grace of God has appeared, bringing what? Salvation, deliverance, healing to all men. That's what that word encompasses. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Uh-oh. What does that mean? The Greek word for instructing us or teaching us is the same word used in Hebrews 12 for discipline. God is teaching us. As parents, we instruct. God, our Father, is instructing us. It is the same exact word that is used in Hebrews chapter 12 for those in whom He loves. He disciplines. He teaches. He instructs. So, discipline teaches us and it trains us. Titus actually tells us that discipline is part of God's grace. We should be thankful that God cares enough to teach and instruct and to shape and to mold and to love and to shed His grace upon thee so that you can share in His holiness, so that you can exhibit the fruit of His righteousness. Folks, we can't get to the fruit of righteousness and we can't share in His holiness if we're not willing to admit that, you know what, we just don't have it to begin with. God, through us, is what demonstrates all of these attributes that we acquire. God gives us the faith. God gives us the grace. God gives us our lives. God takes us home, not because of anything we've done, but it's because we're willing to submit. It's willing to get on our knees and say, God, thank You. I receive Your love and Your mercy and Your grace and Your righteousness. Now let me demonstrate it. And whatever it takes, Lord, teach me, mold me, shape me. We sing it. Bring into my life whatever it takes. Discipline us. Teach us, really. Teach us so that we can reflect the family well. I want to honor You. I want to submit and I want to love You as much as You love me. We show that love through our obedience, through our willing to be trained. It's just yieldedness, really. It's just a yieldedness. So, we're talking about actually discipline as being part of God's grace, instructing us to deny, as Titus says, ungodliness and worldly desires. We should be denying worldly desires and ungodliness. And God's going to help us to do that. That's what this whole thing on trials is all about. God is going to help us to get to that level. So discipline carries with it the idea of teaching or training. Now, we already said that earthly parents discipline in order to properly raise their children. In other words, I get it, you don't, and I'm going to teach you right now so you understand it too. That's our perspective. That's our earthly perspective. Unfortunately, the world doesn't understand the word discipline. I'm going to say that one again. The world does not understand the word discipline. Let's take spanking, for example, in regards to one of the disciplines used for child rearing that we do, right? Some modern-day psychologists see it like corporal punishment. Seriously. Which they relate to beating the child and thinking that nothing good could ever come from causing a child pain through discipline. Really? I had a nephew, and I won't go into that story. But my sister had that attitude. Oh, we discuss everything in front of the child. There's nothing that as parents we can't discuss in front of the child. There's no need to spank, no need to cause pain. That's only just showing how barbaric we are. It's corporate. There's no need to child. It's to learn. It's to train. We don't need to do any form of pain whatsoever in order to correct or to move this person in the right direction. Oh, how obnoxious that child grew up to be. My God, nobody liked to be around him. Even the workers in the house came to me after one time. I said, if you play that drum one more time in the sound of my ears, I'm going to take that drumstick and put it where the sun don't shine. And I got a standing ovation from the electrician and the plumber that were in that house while I was babysitting. It's truth. That's a true story. So these modern-day psychologists are giving us, you know, obviously this is a non-biblical in its thinking, but in all fairness, they're probably thinking in terms of abuse. Okay, and we can all appreciate that. So they throw that baby out with the bathwater and say spanking should be outlawed. Spanking should be outlawed, okay? Now we're just talking about one form of discipline here. And I said that, this is how I put it. That would be like saying because some people abuse children verbally, we should eliminate speaking from being used as a tool to communicate. Right? Same thing. Well, spanking causes pain and some people abuse that, so let's just eliminate spanking from the arsenal that we have. Well, since we verbally abuse people, then we shouldn't even communicate. We get down to the point where there's nothing that would work. It is kind of ridiculous if you think of it in that manner. Folks, discipline, like any other form of instruction, administered while in control of your emotions and for the purpose of teaching your child the greater good. However, there will always be people who do abuse that privilege. But the nothing good can come from pain statement is contrary to common sense and God's point of view. It's not biblical. We must begin to understand it from a scriptural perspective. Folks, God's love is not a pampering love. God's love is a perfecting love. That's what the Bible says. Not me. God's love is not a pampering love. God's love is a perfecting love. I'd pray 10,000 times a day that it would be a pampering love. Seriously. For those that disagree and they, you know, we agree to disagree and you don't agree with what I'm teaching here today and stuff like that, I'm with you. I want the pampering love. I'll take it. I'll do it right now. I'll lay down, Father, forgive me for teaching that it's a perfecting love instead of a pampering love. Amen. Now show me the pampering. Put me in Pampers. That was good. That was pretty good. I will gladly become as a little child, and I will wear my Pampers if I'll go through the rest of my life with that pampering kind of love always, without any type of the other type of discipline. Oh, yeah. So you're probably saying to me, are you saying God spanks his children? Yeah. He does. He does. Lovingly, he does. You may also say, Pastor, well, that was just in the Old Testament. Welcome to Hebrews chapter 12. And see how many times you read the word discipline in 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens or disciplines. Or scourges or does all those things. We have to put it in context of what he's doing at the moment in regards to those definitions. The Greek again says he scourges, which I told you every son he receives. Thank God for saving us, but he's also sanctifying us. That's right. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and 6 again. I want you to see some words here. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son in whom he receives. Have you forgotten means, are you drawing a blank here? How could you not remember God said that discipline would be a part of sonship? That's, in layman's terms, how can you forget? You've read it. Solomon told you a long time ago. Let's look at Proverbs 3. In other words, being part of a family, God's in particular this case, the Lord spoke to this through Solomon a long time. If you're going to be part of God's family, you can expect that you will have trials and tribulations in this world. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to have arrived. We're going to see him as he sees us. We're going to come to perfect knowledge, right? But while we're here, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. You will be lifted up. You will be scourged. They're chastening will happen. All this other stuff is going to be happening. Satan's still here. We're not even talking about the temptations and the things that he does to us on purpose. But that's because we're still here. But he says, don't worry about that. You're not of this world. You're going to go through it like I did on the cross, but that doesn't matter. Because your promise of salvation, an eternal inheritance, is worth it all. It's worth it all. Look at what Proverbs says. Solomon, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. God, stop it. Will you just stop it in my life? Stop teaching me so hard. These tests are too difficult. I need to study more. That's what we say. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. correction. For whom the Lord, loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son whom he delights. How about that? So the writer of Hebrews says, have you forgotten what God told you a long time ago through the fathers? That this isn't going to be a cakewalk. God doesn't have a pampering love. He's into perfecting you. You're sons. He's training you up in the way you should go. You have an assignment coming when you come to be with Jesus in heaven. You're not just going to be up there in a palm tree and drinking something and enjoying the beach. Maybe. He says we are going to train us to rule and to reign. At least for 1,000 years. After that, maybe after that, we're going to lay down with the lion and the lamb and enjoy that, you know, whatever. But for 1,000 years, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. He's going to train us up so that we're able to do just that. And he'll get our attitude straight, and he'll get our life straight, and he'll do it the way he does as any other son would as we're training them up. This was written long ago. So have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as God's sons? I said, in other words, you're one of God's children, and this is one aspect of how he relates to us as children. Just one. And we happen to be talking about it today. It says, do not despise or regard this, what? Lightly. In other words, when God moves towards you to make some changes in your conduct and your character, don't be casual or indifferent about it. I'm going to say that again. Do not despise or regard this lightly. When he says that, he's saying God moves towards you to make some changes in your conduct and your character. Do not be casual or indifferent about it. Take it seriously. He's God. And what's the goal? Character transformation, holiness. Character transformation. Otherwise, there would be no need for it. You wouldn't have to worry about God allowing these trials in your life to teach you. You wouldn't need them. You'd arrived. We wouldn't even need to be here. We might as well just be in heaven. It's never easy. But then there are also times we tend to get overly concerned about situations and begin to doubt God's ability to see us through the trial. See us through the teaching process. Oh, am I ever going to pass the class? Am I ever going to make it? Am I going to fail? Am I going to move up to the next grade? What's going to happen here, God? God will never give you anything that you can't handle. He'll never give you anything that you can't handle. And his goal is character transformation. So whatever it takes. Obviously, there was something with Job. Even a little teeny flaw. And what happened? You know, Satan, he's still in control. You cannot do anything more than I allow. Can't take his life. But God was what? Proving Job. He was proving his nature. He was proving his character. And boy, did he pass. Now, he wasn't so happy with him because of the way Job reacted to the trial and some of the things that he might have said. But boy, when you think that you're down at the bottom and you failed and you can't please God and he's just discouraged, you know, God's discouraged with you and you think that he doesn't care and stuff like that. In the background the whole time, have you considered my servant Job? And then after God does all the things with, you know, allowing this stuff to happen and stuff like that, he's saying, my servant Job's going to pray for all you guys so I don't blast you for all your comments with him. As much as Job did, he restored him so much more. So when you think that God's angry at you, stop it. He's not. Sovereignly, he never lost control of Job. He never stopped loving Job. He loved Job more than he was just, this is my guy. And yet you would have thought Job was not even remotely in his sights. And maybe you feel you're that way today. That you're not even remotely in his sights and that God's doing these things or Satan's doing these things or whatever just to bring me down and I don't know how much more I can take, God, and all this kind of stuff when God's up there bragging about you, when God's up there saying these are my sons and daughters and, you know, this is to purify them. Come on now. We got to get out of condemnation and we just got to get into the place where when these things come our way, we say, thank you, Lord, whatever it takes, just teach me quickly. And not everything's a bad, bad, bad trial. Some are very, very easy little ones. You don't take all the tests you've taken in your life. Sometimes what? Some are real little ones and you, piece of cake. And then there's other ones you're going and you're looking at the answers and you're going, okay, A, B, C, or D. I don't know. And you're flipping coin. God, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Heads, I go downtown. No, B, I don't. It's just, that's the way we are, and that's how we react. We have to look at this in the light of how God sees things, and that's what we're trying to say today. So, here it is. If we get overly concerned, we begin to cry out and we say, do you see me over here, God? Can you see that I don't have what it takes to get through this? Anybody said that? Physically and emotionally, I'm a train wreck. I'm in survival mode, God. My faith is being rattled. I just don't have it, God. Bingo. You just learned your lesson. You don't. That's what God was going for. You don't have it. And that's what he wanted you to see. That's the whole thing with trials. It brings you to the place where you get before God in a deeper, more intimate way, and you learn to rely upon him, because this life has nothing for you. It can offer you nothing, and in your own strength, you can do absolutely, the word says, nothing. You have to abide in the vine. And all these trials serve to do is not condemn you. God loves you as sons. He wants to get you through in such a more deeper way. He's not content with a shallow relationship with you. He wants your best. He wants all of you. He wants from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. He wants to purify you as hyssop so you can be clean. And it's not to say, oh my God, I can't do this, except that it is. I can't do this. But he can, and he's confident that he can in you. All he's looking for you is to get on your knees and say, God, I yield and surrender. That's all salvation is. Accepting Jesus Christ and what he did and say, come into my life, Holy Spirit, come and fill me so that I can live the rest of my life with you. That's lordship. When you bow before the king, when he rules and you don't, when he says this is what you do and you do it, that's kingship, that's lordship. It's love. Because he's got all the answers and he's got all the fruit and he's got all the bliss and he's got all of eternity and he's got all of heaven. You don't have any of that. You can't even muster it up. You can't do anything for it. You can't earn it. Everything in life that happens, God knows about it all. He doesn't want to see you go through pain. He doesn't want to see you go through this. The only reason you do, and he even allows it in your life, is because we're going the opposite way he is, in one way, shape, or form or another. Well, nothing was wrong with Job at the time and stuff like that. He said he feared. The very thing that he feared came upon him. So, you know, you might have to stick a little fear in there. And so God maybe was teaching him a little bit on that. I don't know. One day when I get there, I'll ask him. Maybe it was just for us, so that we'd know that God was up there watching the whole thing, saying how much he loved Job and how proud he was of Job, while Satan was just spanking. Because it wasn't God. But he does allow things. Folks, let God take you to a whole new level of dependence on him. Become as a little child. Discipline is for sons and daughters and is good. Just trust him and surrender to it.